Hello everyone, this is Fred Ferrara, original member from the Brooklyn Bridge Handel Sands, and you're listening to our very good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mel Carter, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Rick Morris, and you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. From the Skyliners.
That's all right.
I'll say it again.
Yeah, again.
This is Rick Morris from the Skyliners, and you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
There you go. Hi, this is Odell Jones from the Contours, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Frankie Rayner from the Capris, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Little Anthony Imperials, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Kiss me each morning for a million years. Hold me each evening at your side. Tell me you'll love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, then if it don't work out, with a morning kiss, soften my dreams with your sigh. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, then if it don't work out, tell me goodbye. So that we can say we tried. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, then if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye.
This is Mike Miller, and you're with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my extreme pleasure to have as my guest, Mr. Ken Brady of the Casinos. How you doing, Ken?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Mike. How's it in your part of the woods?
Well, right now it's raining profusely, as it always does in southern Florida, and I know that you're in northern Florida, and it does the same thing.
Yeah, I'm up here in Lakeland, and it's been raining all morning. I think it's just about ready to give up, it looks like.
Well, I'm watching. Actually, the gutters on my neighbor's house overflow. And the other thing is, we live on a lake, and the lake pretty much for the last couple of months has been pretty dry, and it keeps getting lower. But now, it's not only is it overflowing, but it's up onto the grass. And we also have two alligators that live right in the lake and come up in our backyard every once in a while. We have a 9-footer and a 6-footer.
Oh, boy, that's funny. I live on a lake, too, and we had two alligators here, and a guy came in and got both of them. One was 10-foot, and one was 12-foot.
Wow.
And,
well,
And I used to watch them. They used to attack these poor birds and stuff out here. So I'm glad somebody got them out of there before they got somebody's dog.
Yeah, I know. Well, they go after the dogs. I've had the critter guy, Rick, come out. He doesn't seem to be able to get them, though.
No, but darn. But this guy, he baited them. And,
yeah.
When he catches them, he shoots them with a .45.
Oh, no kidding, because he told me, he said, if you want, you know, you can shoot him. He said, but the problem is you have to know how to shoot him. You have to be licensed, you know, which I am. He says, but you also, you have to understand that unless you hit him the right way, the bullets ricochet, he said, because of their tough hide. And a lot of times two guys will go out there and say, we're going to shoot the alligator in our backyard. And the bullets wind up ricocheting and you either shoot your neighbor's living room window or you shoot your friend in the leg.
Yeah, I think I'd let the experts catch it. I don't want to catch anything that's going to eat me anyway.
No, I understand. And they're very fast. I mean, you know, I'm watching this guy. He comes out, like, on the lawn, and they say that at this time of the year they do that to sunbathe. Mm-hmm. But when he wants to scoot, he's pretty fast.
Oh, yeah, they can run. I think they say something like 30, 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, you know, so I don't want to get in his way. And
yeah, they can have the lake.
Yeah. Well, that's like being on Alligator Alley. I was once coming home from the west side to the east side on Alligator Alley, and all of a sudden I see out of the corner of my eye, and I'm doing 70, a huge gator just start to saunter across the highway, and I kind of avoided the guy, but all the cars were stopping, and he just sauntered at his own pace as if he had done it 100 times. You know,
they own that territory down there.
Okay, so for people that are listening right now that you know, they're either up north or they're in Sweden or Norway, which, by the way, we have listeners all over the world. You know, that's what it's like to have an alligator in your backyard. You know?
Yeah, it's not like having your little canaries and vultures and little birds. Of course, you know, here in Florida, we got every bird in the world. But
I know.
We do have alligators, and we learn to live with them and leave them alone.
But we don't have bears.
No, we don't have bears. I think they have bears up around the Homosassa.
Yeah. Well, you know, the further north you go, a lot of people also don't understand that if they're driving from north down to Florida and they're going to southern Florida, like Boca Lauderdale, they don't realize when they get to the northern tip of Florida and they say, hey, I'm home, that once they start going through northern Florida, the exits are like 55 miles apart. And it runs probably almost four-fifths of the length of the United States, Florida. So they still have a long ride in front of them, which I've found out many times.
Yeah, when I come down from Cincinnati, I hit Georgia.
Right.
From Georgia to here was the longest ride of the whole thing.
Yeah, you bet.
But I enjoy Florida. I love it. I mean, you couldn't run me out of here with a cannon.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Okay, but musically speaking, let's get back to Ken Brady and your musical career. You were born where, Ken?
In Cincinnati, Ohio, in 1944.
Wow. Okay. So Ohio, you know, a lot of great music people came from Ohio. And, of course, we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which found its way to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell people I was on a show years ago called The Upbeat Show, and it was from Cleveland, and it was with Jeff Kutash and the Upbeat Dancers. And I think there was the host, I keep forgetting his name. I think his last name was Weber, maybe Don Weber.
Yeah, there's a Don Weber, I remember that, but I don't remember that group you were just talking about.
Yeah, Jeff Kutash, he eventually found his way to Vegas with the Dance Review, too. But he was the guy that was running dance routines on the show. That had to be 35 years ago, you know, a long time ago. So, Ken, when did you realize that you could sing?
Well, I was just a youngster, and my mom and dad used to put me in talent shows and stuff. I was 10 years old when I really got started.
Right.
And with the talent shows and stuff like that, I liked it. I enjoyed it, and I never did stop. I got into high school quartets and stuff and all that kind of thing. So I sang all since I was 10.
So you did the Glee thing, like, early on, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was just a little guy, but it really didn't start paying off for me until basically it was just before I met the Casinos. And then
right.
Things started working real well.
Who were your early influences, you know, as a kid growing up? Because I know, you know, interestingly enough, you talked to Dion, and Dion said, hey, you know what? until a certain age, I listened to only country music and rockabilly. You know, I really wasn't into the doo-wop, so, and the R&B. So, you know, I'd like to ask Ken, you know, who were you listening to when you were a kid, and, you know, which artists did your ear seem to find?
Well, basically, I listened to my mom and dad's type music from back in the 30s and 40s.
Uh-huh.
And that's the type thing that I was singing back in those days, because I really didn't get into the rock and roll part of it, I guess, until in the 50s.
Right. Well, the 40s stuff was great. I mean, I've done a couple of 40s albums. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago we called them albums. I made that mistake the other day, and somebody said, well, an album? There hasn't been an album in a long time, but to me it's still an album. You know, doing those great, you know, 40s tunes, I'll Be Seeing You, and, you know, that type of tune, those songs will never die, and they're just great tunes. You know that.
That's right. But my favorite artist, really, it probably sounds a little strange, but he was a great guy, and he's still around with us, was Jerry Butler.
Uh-huh, the Iceman.
The Iceman. I mean, I just thought he was so cool. And, in fact, that's his songs, what I was singing in a club in Kentucky.
Right.
Called The Flamingo.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing a show there. I did a front stage for Jerry Lee Lewis. And I sang that song, Your Precious Love.
What year was that?
That was 1962.
Oh, okay. Now, the Casinos, they were not called the Casinos originally. What was the Casino started out how?
They was the Legends. They called themselves the Legends.
Uh-huh.
This was long before even Gene Hughes was with them.
Gotcha.
And there was a Mack Brown, Ray White has always been with the group, and Roger West, Joe Patterson, and J.T. Sears.
And that was around 1958, going way back.
Yeah, going back in 1958, yeah.
Right.
And then a bunch of them went into the armed forces and stuff like that, but Ray White, he continued on, and then Gene Hughes joined the group.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he sang with them for quite a while.
Right.
And then when he left the group, I took over as lead singer in 1962, and I was with him for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
So it was a lot of fun, and they're a great bunch of guys. There's three of them still up in Cincinnati.
Right, I see. And so actually when the tune was recorded, and let's go back and ask about this, you know, how much recording history did the Casinos have before they recorded the big hit, which is, of course, Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye.
Right. They had the one other record out that it really didn't do much. I don't even think it made the charts. It was called Do You Recall?
Do you recall the night when I held you tight? I still recall, my dear. Yes, recall the night.
Through the park, I held your hand.
fact, I was up in New York one time, and
right.
In an old record store up there, and a guy come up, and I bought, because I was out of them. In fact, I lost a bunch of stuff in a fire. But anyway, he had seven 45s of Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye, and I bought all of them. And,
wow.
Now, on this other one, do you recall, I think they only had like 300 records made. They put them on jukeboxes, and they put them out to the radio disc jockeys.
Right.
And that was in Cincinnati, in Indiana and Kentucky. Well, he says, Ken, I got something for you. And he went downstairs in the basement. He come up with that record. Now, how it got into New York, I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
But I've got it home here in a frame, and I'll never let that one go.
Right. Now, what about your recording career as far as leading up to the casinos? Had you done any recordings before that?
No, I did some stuff that it never was charted either.
Right.
Back in those days, I guess you know, it was kind of a tough act because everybody, just about everybody in the world sang.
You're right.
And if you just had to be in the right place at the right time. So I just never did make that part of it. And, of course, I was very fortunate to run into the casinos, and I've re-recorded that song.
Right, and well, you should have.
And I enjoy that. It's such a wonderful song. People approach me all the time. They use it a lot for weddings. They got married and they first danced to that song.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Kiss me each morning for a million years. Hold me each evening at your side. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye. Sweeten my coffee with a morning kiss. Soften my dreams with your sigh. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye.
You know, and it's funny about wedding songs, you know, as far as what people choose, and they choose tunes that are near and dear to them, A lot of times they don't always have, you know, they're not always positive tunes. Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye. You know, it's interesting as to whether that tune ends on a high note or a low note.
Yeah, well, it kiss me each morning for a million years. Right. What else could you ask for?
Right. No, I know. I do understand, you know.
If you live that long, it's great, right?
It's only the goodbye part.
You know, yeah, well, then you can tell me goodbye after a million years. Right. You know, I don't think it would make much.
You're right. I don't think you're right. I don't know anybody's marriage that's lasted a million years. Or some of them seem to last a million years. I understand that Kim Kardashian is leaving her husband after a month and a half.
Yeah, wow.
And a $5 million wedding or $10 million wedding. I mean, you know.
What could happen in that short time?
Well, it probably started going wrong even beforehand. Well, you know, that's reality TV, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what that's all about.
Well, I think the wife I had, if I tried to leave her, she'd have me shot.
Yeah, there you go. You know.
But I got me a good one. I'm happy where I'm at, and she's a lovely lady. Uh-huh. And we have a lot of fun together.
No, I understand. Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye was written by Loudermilk, right?
John D. Loudermilk. Yep.
Yeah.
And, he tried to make a hit out of it himself, and of course he failed.
Right.
And there was a few other people that tried it, and until the casinos got a hold of it, then it took off real big. And my personal opinion of that song is that big B3 organ.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I played guitar through a Leslie for a lot of years when I was doing top 40 groups, and it was very unique on Long Island in those days. And I would strum it, you know, kind of halftime, you know, in order to get the sustain. But it was very interesting the way I used to play rhythm guitar through a Leslie.
Oh, that had to be a sound.
Oh, yeah. And that sound was great. And, you know, it was very unique, and nobody, wow. You know, I wish I had thought of that, people would say to me. You know, it's really hot stuff.
I've never heard of anybody playing a guitar through one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to think, but you have to strum and think like an organ. For instance, in my Pro Tools studio, you know, I have, you know, guitar synthesizer also. So I'll do strings, horns, and piano and all kinds of things on my Ovation guitar, which has that kind of a synthesizer pickup on it. And it's amazing what you can do once you send the signal in and then you change it to whatever sound you want. But you have to strum the guitar and think like a horn player or think like a keyboard player or, you know, think like the instrument that you're trying to obtain. And it's a whole different head. You know what I mean?
It sounds difficult.
Oh, yeah, you know. So, you know.
Sounds great.
Having listened to a lot of the cuts, you know, the Ken Brady cuts, you're a ballad singer, man. You're a hell of a ballad singer. You really feel comfortable in that niche singing a love song.
If you just give love and never get love, you never let love depart. I know it's so, and yet I know I can't get you out of my heart. You made me leave my happy home. You took my love. For you, love brings such misery and pain. I guess I'll never be the same since I've been. Well, it's too bad, and it's too sad, but I'm in love with you. You love me, then you
Yes, I'll never see the light. I get the blues every night since I fell for you.
The same way too, you know. It's so let me ask you this: have you ever thought about putting out just a Ken Brady CD of standards?
Yes, I did, and I'm about to work on that as we speak.
Oh, no kidding! That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a whole love song type album and see how it goes.
You know, there's one song, and I even. I talked last week to Mel Carter about this song, and he knew the song, even though he said that he had never recorded it and possibly would. It's this old Billy Eckstein tune called "You've Changed."
Oh yeah,
if you know, and because not too many people know the song, and I've done that, I've recorded that one, but that would be a great tune to do also because not too many people have heard it.
That's right. That's been forever.
Yeah, it's a great jazzy tune, you know.
I can't remember the last time I heard that song.
Yeah, you know. Well, I'll send you my copy of it. You know.
Oh, great.
That sparkle in your eye is gone. Your smile is just a careless yawn. You're breaking my heart, you've changed. You've changed. Your kisses are so blasé. You're bored with me in every way. It's all over now, you've changed. You've forgotten the words, I love you. Each memory that we share, you ignore every star above you. I can't believe you ever cared. You've changed. You're not the angel I once knew. No need to tell me that we're through. You're breaking my heart, you've changed. And the words I love you, each memory that we share, you ignore every star above you. I can't realize you ever cared. You changed. You're not the I once knew. No need to tell me that we're through. You're breaking my heart, you've changed. You've changed. You've changed. You've changed.
Hi, I'm Rosalind.
And I'm Annette. And we're the original Vandellas. And you're listening to our good friend, Mike Miller.
On the Harmony Street Show.
You know, it's...
I'd love to have that. Maybe I can... do something with that song.
Yeah, I'll send you a bunch of stuff, you know, whatever. So I understand as well that you have a hotel up in what I call Northern Florida. Well, it's north to me because I'm down in Wellington. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I'll tell you, we had a lot of fun up there in the last 3 years. We did an evening get-together thing. We had all the local entertainers, which are wonderful in this area.
Right.
And they'd come in, and we had a dinner at $10.95, all-you-can-eat buffet, and then all the talent that you could handle
right
on Tuesday nights.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest of the week, they had not much going on. But Friday and Saturday, I tried to bring in some nice acts. I brought in Richie Merritt from the Marcells,
right.
Bobby Hendrix from the Drifters.
Right.
And we just have a local guy from over in Orlando. He called himself Frankie V. He does all the... Frankie Valli stuff and,
oh, cool.
And Little Anthony Imperials.
Wow.
And this guy's amazing.
Wow.
And we had a lot of fun up there. And, of course, I put my shows in. I had the casinos in there. And they had a packed house. And
right.
It just went just great in the last 3 years. But all good things must come to an end. They're going out of business up there.
Oh.
And my wife's the general manager of the place. And
right.
I'm just going to close it down. It's a shame.
Well, you know, in today's economy, things come and go. I mean, you know, all of the big country clubs down here in the South where we live are not doing big oldie shows, and they're not doing the big, you know, $5,000, $6,000, and $10,000 shows that they used to do. They're hiring a keyboard player and a singer or a duet. And, you know, that's the way it is. The baby boomers are hiring groups like, you know, track singers and somebody who'll do, you know, from 8 o'clock until 2:30 in the morning, you know, for $150.
Yeah, and, that's exactly what they're doing.
They're pulling back.
I just the people are not traveling anymore either, and that's what really hurt the hotel. They wasn't getting the coverage on the rooms. It was doing real good in the dining area and lounge. But
right.
The rest of it, the people just weren't traveling.
Right. So let's get back to the casinos. So when you entered the group, Gene Hughes had been with the group, and then he left the group for whatever reason, and then you came in. And tell me how things took shape then for you with the casinos.
Oh, it was just a blast. I mean, I had to do some rehearsals with them, and I had to learn the things that they were doing.
Right.
But we started singing everywhere through Indiana, Kentucky, and North and South Carolina,
right.
West Virginia, and on and on and on, and just had a wonderful time for 3 years.
Right. Now, when was the hit recorded?
The hit was recorded in 1967. It came out in December of 1967.
Uh-huh. Right. So, in other words, you had come and replaced Gene, and then you had left before the hit came out?
Yeah, I left before the hit came out, and Gene came up out of Tennessee with this song. And they put it together. It's a shame I wasn't there. But,
timing is everything, you know.
Yeah. But I had fun with them, and I'm fortunate to be affiliated with a group like this. They're a great group, great bunch of nice guys and stuff, and we had a lot of fun. And so I wasn't there, but I don't know if everybody knows, but Gene Hughes lost his trademark, and he didn't know. He sang for years with, you know, all by himself.
Right.
After the group ended in 68, I think it was.
Right.
And
now, when you say he lost his trademark, explain to me and people that are listening how that happens, why that happens, because I don't think they're aware of what goes on behind the scenes politically, legally, trademark-wise, and what happens as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, well, he sang for years all by himself, and not knowing that his trademark had went away.
Uh-huh.
And how it wasn't Gene's fault. His lawyer always renewed his trademark whenever it was due. Well,
right.
his attorney passed away.
Oh, boy.
And the firm neglected to renew it.
Wow.
And there's a group of guys up in New York that spotted it, and they
picked
it up. And they're not anything to do with the casinos, but they've got a trademark, so that's legal for them. But when I spotted it, I designed this trademark we have today, the casinos,
right.
Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye.
Well,
and the reason why I did it that way, because it covered the song
right.
and the group.
Right. Well, let's go back to someone else taking the trademark. I think now with the Truth in Rock legislation, is it not true that even with the trademark, you have to have either an original performer or somebody who was on the original trademark, and or it's not just enough to hold the paper, from
yeah,
what I understand.
That's the way it is today, but I don't know if you had a trademark, you still have to have an original member.
Correct, or somebody that was on a recording or somebody that was with the group long enough to establish, let's say, residency, musical residency, so to speak, with the group.
Exactly. So they're up in New York, and they go out, and basically there's a lot of times they went out and they kind of lean on where they're part of this record, Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye.
Right.
I've called up there before, and I've had it shut down because I told them I don't care if you go out and there's the casinos, which you have a thing, but I don't want them leaning on this song.
I understand.
It's not fair to my group.
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, being that Ken Brady has been a legitimate part of the casinos documented for all those years now, I'm assuming that the group up north has no original or recording members or anybody that's been connected with the casinos up until the point where they just said, hey, we're looking to audition guys to be casinos.
Yeah, they have nothing to do. There's no members of the original group in that group.
Now, are these people, is that a situation of people who have, excuse the expression, gathered up other trademarks under their name? Because I know there is one group up north that looks actively at trademarks that are ready to expire and gobbles them up, and you know, as a hobby.
Well, as far as I know, the only one they have is the casinos.
Okay, I understand.
But what I did is I designed this, and of course Gene Hughes was still alive.
Right.
And he was my great friend, so I gave him this trademark.
Uh-huh.
And me and him was on the verge of doing a show between the two of us as the two lead singers of the casinos.
Right.
Gene Hughes is deceased, and he got killed in an automobile accident in Tennessee.
How long ago was that?
That was in 2003.
Okay, so not that long ago as far as the timeline is concerned.
Right. So when Gene passed away, his wife and sent me a letter, and she says that she knew Gene Hughes' wishes would be that the original casinos have the trademark.
Right.
So she gave the trademark back to me, and in exchange, I put all the guys' names on it as equal owners.
Gotcha.
So they all have their trademark. Of course, Gene never did that. He never put them on anything.
Right.
But, I felt that after all these years, and they deserved it to own something of this this name of the casinos, and
right.
I put them all on there. So we all own it together.
Right. And the guys that are singing with you now as the casinos, who are those members?
Okay, that's Billy, Rodriguez, and then Claire, and Charlie, and another my keyboard player named Billy.
Right.
He, I picked these guys. They was going out as a little local group called So Fine.
Right.
And I listened to them, and their harmonies were great, and they looked good, and everything else.
Right.
And of course, I use live music. I don't use any tracks.
Gotcha.
The keyboard player does all my music live. And I put them together. I call them Ken Brady's Casinos.
Right.
And the guys up in Cincinnati, the original guys, are all okay with this. I called them, and of course, I made sure that it wouldn't bother them in any way.
Right.
So we're going out now, and we're doing shows, and they're going along just fine. And we're having a lot of fun.
Well, you know, it's the way it is now with members of groups and trademarks and original names. I mean, as you look across the horizon, sometimes you say to yourself, there's almost two of every major group, and sometimes more than that when you talk Platters and Ink Spots and whatever.
I think there's like 52 groups of drifters out there or something.
Right. You know, so, you know, and then basically people, when they come to the show, there are two different things going on. Some of them just sit back and say, entertain me. But the majority of people want to know that what they're seeing has some kind of legitimacy to it. I mean, obviously there are groups where all of the members are deceased. And there are groups where you have two guys that are just as legitimate as each other. And they don't get along. And they have splinter groups, you know, and I can cite a lot of different examples, you know, even the Rascals, even going to Three Dog Night, even going to the Tokens, Randy and the Rainbows, you know, so we don't have to run down the whole list. And yet, when you go to see a show, sometimes with either one of them, you're seeing at least some kind of, pardon the expression, doo-wop royalty. Then there is also the fact that baby boomers, you know, as we pick up the phone and say, did you hear about so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, the perfect example being Johnny Maestro and Freddie Ferrara from The Bridge and Freddie from The Satins and The Bridge, you know, it's what's happening is we're dwindling down as far as the audience goes, and we're dwindling down as far as the performers go. So
we're a dying breed. It's, we just have to look at it that way. But the part that bothers me more than anything is, you know, since 1967, people haven't seen the casinos.
Right.
They have no idea what the casinos look like. So when a group goes out there and says the casinos, they think they're seeing the real thing.
I understand.
They're stealing from the public.
Right.
I mean, they're basically, you know, like me selling you a Chevrolet, and it's got Ford emblems all over it.
Yeah, no, I understand. And, you know, of course, listen, when I was singing with the Mystics, you know, we did a couple of shows with, you know, some casinos up north. And, of course, you know, some of the members, you know, remain good friends of mine. They're with other groups for whatever reason. You know, I would venture to say that most of the people that sat and saw those shows, sat back and said, oh my goodness, it's the casinos.
Yes.
Nobody really ever blinked an eye and thought that they were getting anything other than that, you know.
It's not fair to them.
Well,
really.
You know, I understand. And you know, sometimes there's politics behind it that makes sense. And sometimes there's politics behind a situation that makes no sense. I venture to say that the guys that were on the shows with us possibly thought they had some
legality
or something said to them that would lead them to believe that that they could use the name.
In other words, permission.
That possibly these guys were given permission by somebody to use the name.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. You know, like I've called them and I've talked to them many times. In fact,
right.
There was a group down here in Florida. A guy put together down here. And they called it
Gene Hughes Casino, and that's the group I'm talking about.
That was what they did. When Gene Hughes passed away, they called his wife, Lynette Hughes, and told her that I promised them all kinds of stuff, which I didn't.
Right.
And they leased the name the casinos.
Okay.
They was under a lease.
Right.
Now, they was under a lease for the casinos, then you can tell me goodbye.
Exactly
what the trademark says.
Right.
And then he made up a name of Gene Hughes Casinos, which there is no document papers anywhere in the world that says the Gene Hughes Casinos.
Okay.
So there is no such thing as the Gene Hughes Casinos. And, I mean, this guy was really going out, putting out all the rights to the casinos and stuff, and he didn't. He just had a lease.
Right.
So that's the group that I shut down here.
Right, but you know, he had a lease in his hand that was signed by whom at that point?
That was Lynette Hughes.
I see. And Lynette thought that quite possibly that she knew that they were going out and singing, correct?
Right. He was supposed to pay her and never did.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know.
He didn't live up to his part of it and things of that. It was just a mess is what it was.
All right.
And I tried to tell her before you ruin our wonderful name of the casinos and do something about it, and she finally did.
Well, you know, as I say, one or two of the people that I know that were singing with that group have found, let's say, new and better homes.
Exactly.
So, you know, and much safer places to be. All that being said, that's just the music business nowadays and some of the things that happen around us.
Right. You know. It's not the easiest business in the world to be involved in.
Right. But I think the important part is that, you know, Ken Brady has a home in which he is able to perform. And as I always say in the music business, you know, get my rocks off and sing good tunes to good people. And, you know, that's a good thing. Now, let me ask you something. When you were doing casinos, did you get a chance to do American Bandstand at all at that time?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Gene Hughes was ever on American Bandstand.
No kidding. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't think they made it either.
Giant hit.
It was a difficult group back them days. It was a type of group that really they didn't get along with each other very well.
You see, when that happens, usually you could be fighting in the dressing room, but once you get out, just before you get out on stage, you punch each other and you say, "Shut up and sing."
Yeah.
I call it the "shut up and sing" part of the night.
Well, that's basically why I left the group. You know, when I did, you know, I just got tired of the chaos.
Right.
I'm a music lover. I do it for fun. I enjoy myself. When I step on stage and start singing, I'm in my own world.
Right.
And that's the way I just feel like everybody should. Maybe I shouldn't feel that way, but I think everybody should enjoy it. And when the argument and fighting starts, I just go another direction.
I hear you. You know, but it's when you spend so much time with people, you know, and of course, you know, pertinent to this is having spoken to Les Couchy over the last week and, you know, his loss of Freddie Ferrara from the Bridge. And here's a guy that he's been singing with and has been in his musical family since they were 15 and 16 years old. And here they are now, you know, in their 70s. To lose somebody like that who's been with you all that time is really, it's tough. It's like losing a member of the family, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, And it's hard to get, you know, a bunch of guys or girls or whatever, and everybody think the same way. It's just everybody's minds are different, their personalities and all this. And it has a tendency to clash.
Right.
And it's hard work to do group work.
Right. No, I understand. Let me ask you a question. Who are Tony and Tricia?
Tony and Tricia are some friends of mine. They're local here in Lakeland. It's a father and daughter team. Uh-huh. Actually, father and mother and daughter.
Right.
Sometimes he brings his wife with him. And they're a great group. I mean, this girl can sing anything.
Uh-huh.
You name it, she can do it. And she's really a pleasant girl. She's a family lady. She has a couple children and just as pleasant and nice to speak with and sing with if anybody I've ever.
Well, I will tell you that there is so much talent in Florida. You know, as a matter of fact, having been around and near the Red Rose Room, I'm sure you know Genesis, who sang there for many years. Do you know her?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now this is one of the most talented people I've ever met. I mean, her chops are so good. And do you know, she actually called me up with tears in her eyes and said, I did not make the audition for X Factor. I think she flew out to one of the auditions in either Philadelphia, if I'm not wrong. You know, Genesis called me up and tell me if I have the particular audition state right. But, you know, and she didn't make it. And I said to myself, there's got to be something wrong, because I've listened for years to American Idol, and I've listened for years, you know, to those kind of shows. And here's a girl who's as talented as anybody I've ever heard, and I've been doing this since I'm 15. I said, something's not right.
I got to tell you, I went over to the American Idol over in Orlando.
Right.
And I told my wife, I said, I'm just going to see what they do, because I see all these people go on there, and
right,
they're awful. And I said, I just want to see what would happen.
Right.
So I went over there, and I auditioned.
Right.
And never heard a word from them.
Right. Well, you know, I think really what happens is that they have a lot of great singers with great chops, but they look for people who are out of the norm and unusual. If you're a really good singer and you're right on the money and you got it all, you know, they're not looking for you. They're looking for somebody that is unusual.
Yeah. Well, I picked out a song I thought they would like.
Uh-huh.
I sang Life Is But a Dream.
There you go. I mean, that's something I might have chosen myself.
I've never heard a word from him.
That's on my A-list. Well, I know you got your hooks into I Believe and Life Is But a Dream. Those are two tunes that are on my top five also.
Somewhere above, there is a
Ah! I know that one time or another, we've all lost someone very near and very dear. But there's no cause for fear, because there's someone above, watching over them and watching over us.
Right, and I know how you sing it, you know, and you nail the false at the end as I do, and you know, do you do it with a modulation or not?
No.
Okay, I made my track. I tweaked my track to do a little modulation, which is cool. But you know, hey, that's what it's all about. You know, I'm not singing that much other than doing my little track show, but I'm having a lot of fun with the radio because I get to talk to people like you.
Yeah, so, well, you're probably going to have fun with it all your life because once it's in your blood, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, I know, you know.
If my voice goes away, I'll pick up and manage somebody or something. No. I'm going to stay in the music line as long as I can.
I hear you. So you're doing this since you were a kid, and you're still doing it. How do you think the music business has changed since you started doing it when you were a teenager?
Yeah, well, first of all, the electronics of it is so much different. You can remember how we used to get into the studio and sound like we were singing in a big bathroom somewhere.
That's right. And also, you know, in the early days, it was one take and we didn't overdub much.
No, you couldn't do it them days. It's just totally different. Now you don't even have to sing the whole song again. If you mess up when you're recording, the guy stops the computer.
Right.
And they just straighten it out for you.
That's right.
It's amazing what they can do with it.
He can say, that's right. If you're doing two bridges in the tune, he can take the first bridge you sang, cut and paste it into the second part
exactly.
of the tune.
And, you know, if we messed up back in them days, you're in trouble.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, you know, it's true. I was in recording studios in New York. I had the luxury of being able to sit there and watch some big sessions go down and watch guys go in and isolate one track and actually rub the tape over the recording head to erase a bass note, let's say, on track six. And the other thing they would do to splice is they would actually put it out on in front of them. They would take a razor, splice out the part they wanted, and then take it and scotch tape it in at the right part, at the next part, you know, when you say to myself, that's actual surgery, mechanical surgery that they would do. Now they do it all digitally on a computer, which is totally different.
I love it. It's fun, but I don't know anything about electronics. I just don't know anything. I'm terrible on computers and all that stuff. I can turn my computer on, I read my email, I delete it, and I play solitaire.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I had to sit up many, many nights until 3 or 4 in the morning reading my little booklet on Pro Tools and experimenting in order to get up and running. Then eventually it sinks in. But I'm certainly just a novice compared to some of the kids that work on this stuff. And they can do things that I can't even do. I'm just like pretty much on the surface with it.
Well, I think they start these kids on computers in the first grade now.
Oh, yeah, you know, and especially even the kids that are the musicians of today. These kids are, you know, if you take a guitar player, you know, they're studying guitar nowadays. He's got all the knowledge that we had, and he's taking it to another level.
They do, and to me, I read the books on them and everything else, and I still can't understand it.
So tell me now, you're doing some singing on your own?
Yeah, I do. I do singles, and I also work with the group. And,
right.
I get different things that I do with myself, and then other than what I do with the group. So I get a combination of stuff.
Now, when you do your single show, what kind of music are you using? Are you going out with a band? Are you using tracks? What are you doing?
I'm using tracks.
Right, which is, you know, it's become very acceptable now. I mean, I know that Pointer Sisters started using tracks years ago. I know that. You know, Flamingos are using tracks, and quite a few of the groups are, you know, have gone tracks, and or the band will play along with their tracks if they got a really good backup band. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, my keyboard player now, he could go out with me, but basically what it runs into is the money situation.
No, I understand. Well, you know, originally, how many guys were in the casinos in those days? 9 or 11 guys, right?
Yeah, a 9-piece band.
Right.
And all that stuff. But, you know, today you couldn't take an orchestra out like that.
You know, I mean, how do you pay people like that? Where are some of the places that you're working now with the casinos?
Well, I'm doing, of course, I'm doing a showcase. It's right above the north of the villages.
Right.
And then the sixth, I'm doing a St. Jude.
Right.
Orlando.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've done those St. Jude shows, too. Those are very rewarding and a lot of nice people.
Yeah, well, they're fun to do, and you know, it's for a very, very good cause. And I used to do them all the time. Jay Leary, you know, that's
right,
deceased now. But
wonderful guy, PJ.
Oh,
and I was so taken aback when I learned that he passed away. I mean, he's the one that used to invite us to St. Jude.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And now his wife is still doing it. She took over the business.
Right.
And Frances is doing very well. She came through it pretty good. She was pretty bad shape there for a couple of weeks.
I know. She's such a sweetheart, too, and so was PJ.
Oh, she's a lovely lady.
Right.
And I mean, the two of them was alike. It was like two saints walking across the yard.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was just wonderful. And they were so happy together. But I miss him. I miss him dearly. And, of course, he had me over at the Red Rose, you know,
right,
quite often.
Right.
Now, this New Year's, I'm over there. This will be my last New Year. It'll be 3 years. New Year's Eve's in a row, I did the
right.
Red Rose.
Yeah, they do a wonderful job there, and, you know, I've had some fun there as well over the years.
A neat place. Really a neat place to go.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it really is a diamond in the rough. It's this wonderful Copacabana-type nightclub in the middle of nowhere, as a
nowhere.
Matter of fact.
Yeah, between Lakeland and Tampa.
Right, but it actually is Plant City, and that's where they have the Strawberry Festival every year. And they, you know, the Strawberry Festival people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars getting the biggest country, western, and those kind of names in to do the Strawberry Festival. I was amazed sometimes. We got asked to kick it off once or twice, but I was amazed by the guest list there of some of the country western stars that they have at the Strawberry Festival.
All the big-time stars come in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
It really turns out to be a nice week over there. And I've been over there before, and I sang in one of the tents. I didn't make the main stage, but I was by myself without a group.
Right. So,
and normally they want to put you on a big stage. They want the stage full.
Right.
You know, you got to have a full band and
well,
all that.
Well, you know, I like the smaller nightclub there, believe it or not.
I don't enjoy doing the ballroom.
And I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, the crowd is all the way to the left and all the way to the right, and you really can't get intimate with them.
Right. You can't play the crowd. And, of course, in a lounge, you're right, even with the dance floor there.
Right.
And, I mean, you're right on top of everybody.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and now with cordless mics, I mean, you can go all over that room.
Got it. You have a lot of fun with it. Yeah. And it's the atmosphere in there. I mean, it's really the ballroom is like singing in a warehouse on a great big tall stage.
Right.
I mean, you can't even jump off that stage.
That's not without hurting yourself.
Exactly. So, you know, I enjoy doing the New Year's over there, but I'd rather be up in the front lounge.
So what are your plans for the casinos at this point? What do you have? What are your hopes and your dreams now?
Well, I just want to keep them busy. crazy. I want to keep working, and it looks like my agent's filling 2012 up pretty much for us. So
right.
We're going to be busy in 2012.
Will you be traveling, doing some shows around the country?
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple agents. I don't Cord.
Right.
I don't know if you know Cord. He's down in, what, I can't even think of Cord's last name now.
Uh-huh. I know who you mean.
And, Corey or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he's looking for some stuff for us up in Mississippi and things of that sort. So
mm-hmm.
He's going to get us busy also. It looks like it's going to be the next 2 years are going to be quite busy for the casinos.
Now, if people want to get in touch with you and want to either book the casinos for something private or book the casinos for a club or whatever, how would they get in touch with you?
They could call me anytime.
All right. And your website, if they want to go to your website?
Yeah, they can go to my website, and I'll use my regular website instead of the casinos because it's
okay.
Too jumbled up. But it's kbrady12@hotmail.com.
Okay, now that's your email address, but if
mm-hmm.
they want to see the casino's website, why don't you give us the address for the website?
You can just go to theoriginalcasinos.com.
Okay, theoriginalcasinos.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that sounds great.
2 years ago, I went up, and it was in December, went up to Cincinnati.
Right.
And we did a tribute to Gene Hughes up there, and,
uh-huh.
and the CODA organization put him into CODA Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Each one of us got an award for all the things that we brought recognition to Cincinnati.
Right.
And we celebrated our 50th anniversary of us guys singing together.
Wow.
And we thought that was just marvelous. We're all thrilled to death about that we're all still together in the original group.
And it's a great organization to be part of. Now, the guys that sang with you way back when, how many of those are still around?
There's three of them. There's Mickey Denton,
right?
Ray White, and Bobby Armstrong.
And can those guys still sing?
Yeah, they can still sing, but they just kind of laid back. They've kind of given up. They play in some local clubs up in Cincinnati.
Right.
Stuff like that, but they're not doing a whole lot of things. In fact, that's why I put the group together down here in Florida, and because I'm still very active, and I don't want to stop. So, you know, I had a cruise I could have done with them, and they turned it down. That's what, you know, just made me make up my mind.
My suggestion would be to get in touch with PBS and, you know, pull in those original guys and do a PBS thing.
Yeah, I've talked to Mr. Lubinsky, and
mm-hmm.
he's going to get back with me if he ever does another show, but at this point, he has no plans on another show right now.
Right. Well, you want to know something, I think, when you least expect it, you know, Henry DeLuca will call TJ and say, hey, come on, let's do this again. And I think there are some groups that haven't been explored at this point. So,
well, I heard one time through the grapevine that he was thinking very seriously about doing a one-hit wonder show.
Uh-huh, okay.
And, of course, we would fit right in that. You know, we're one-hit wonders, and there's so many of them out there, he could do a complete show with that.
Well, there's so many different concepts that he could pull into this thing, you know, if you're the slightest bit creative. I mean, here's a guy, believe it or not, you know, he was connected through his father to Savoy Records years ago, and here down in Florida, he was doing local sock hops and things like that. And, you know, really not that knowledgeable about the decade or two that went on before him. However, when they came up with the concept of putting these groups back together and going to PBS, what a brainstorm that was.
Oh, boy, it was a can of worms. There was a lot of the groups that were retired weren't doing anything.
That's correct.
And they got together and rehearsed and put it all back together. And you know what the amazing thing is? They're all working today.
Oh, yeah, and they made a lot of money for a lot of people, and a lot of songwriters made a lot of money, too, because those DVDs and CDs went out to millions of people. And then, of course, he decided to do it with the 40s. I mean, to hear the McGuire sisters get up and do some of those tunes, man, sent chills through me.
Isn't
you know, watching the 40s. I mean, you know, that was great stuff. And then, of course, he did 60s. He did the, you know, the 70s R&B with Earth, Wind & Fire and all those groups. And you know, it's just great stuff because where do you hear them anymore?
Yep, yeah, you never hear him anymore at all.
Right, I mean, you know, you had Rock Concert with Don Kirshner, who was a neighbor of mine and just recently passed away. But, you know, the baby boomers are still really all very, very hungry for their fix, you know, and that's why they go out and they frequent these oldie shows and they really can't get enough of it. That's why the casinos should be out and they should be on the bill with a lot of big shows.
Well, we're going to push that, and it looks like it's going to work for us in 2012 and 13.
Right.
It's going to come together for us. But, you know, you talk about the oldies, Mike. We got a radio station here in Lakeland. It's WONN.
Right.
And Jim Hendrick runs it. Now, this guy, he's been into everything you can imagine. He was the announcer for Miss Budweiser when they had the boat races years ago.
Oh, I remember Miss Budweiser.
Yeah, and he did all that stuff, and he was with a group called the Four Scores.
Okay.
And they had some recordings and sang around. He did shows with the Rat Pack.
Right.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Sinatra, Dean Martin.
Dean Martin, and he did shows on
Joey Bishop.
All over with these guys. He's kind of guy he was.
Right.
And today he's got a radio station. He plays anything from Al Jolson up to the casinos, then you can tell me goodbye.
Very cool. I mean, you know, it's hard to segue from Al Jolson to the casinos, but really and truly now with radio stations, if you get away from the original format, you know, which is just really pre-programmed, got to play what the program director says, when you have your own thing going on and you get to play what you want, it's a thing of beauty because I'm able to do and say and play whatever I feel like playing. It's a good thing rather than serious. I talked to some of the serious DJs and, you know, one of the things that is a little annoying to them is that you can set your watch to Ricky Nelson at 4:30 every afternoon on Sirius, 50s on 5, and it's getting to be more like AM radio was.
Yeah. Well, this is an AM station, but when he took the job up there, he told him, he says, I play what I want, and I don't want anybody to bother me. So they don't. He's got the highest ratings in his area in radio.
Very cool, very cool.
And he's really a neat guy, and he's on from 6 to 10 in the morning every day, except for Saturday and Sunday.
Right, and of course, internet radio has become a really big thing, you know, and people can really hear, and people can get into the nooks and the crannies on internet radio, you know, because you don't hear the mainstream stuff. You hear stuff that's a little more collectors, a little more obscure, and a little more you know, deep in the pile of records, so to speak.
I've never listened to it on the internet.
Right.
I've never listened to that.
Right. Well,
I'm going to have to do that, aren't I?
It's all good. I'm just glad that you're still able to get out there and entertain people, you know, with your vocal prowess and keep the name of the casinos alive, because that's, I'm sure that's what Gene Hughes and all the original members had in mind.
That's true. Gene would be really enjoying this right now.
What kind of guy was Gene?
Oh, he's a wonderful guy. Gene liked to have fun, and he was a man of his own. That's the only thing I can tell you. I've never met anybody else like Gene.
Either. Right.
He was a nice guy. He was a strict kind of a guy.
Uh-huh. Keeping nine other guys in line. Listen, when I had Harmony Street, before I came to Florida, I did it with three ladies, a bass singer, myself, and a keyboard player. And doing it with three ladies was really tough because there wasn't ever a time that I was right. I was always wrong.
that's normal.
Yeah, you know, I was
that
always
situation,
wrong.
Not that normal that you're never right.
But they would sit me down and explain it to me. And once they explained it to me, I understood. And I would say, okay. I'll tell you a story about them.
I got a young lady in my group now.
Listen.
And I'm going to tell you what. She keeps the guys in line.
Right.
And she's a sweetheart. She does a lot of work for me and with computers and stuff and all that kind of stuff. So I was blessed with Claire.
Uh-huh. That's great. Listen.
She don't tell me what to do and when to do it.
When I had Harmony Street, we got a chance to sing the national anthem and do a 25-minute show, Mother's Day for the Mets. And we did sing the national anthem in many different places, you know, as well as go to the White House for Bill and Hillary, you know. which is another whole story. But, you know, at the last minute on Mother's Day, we were called by the Mets management and they said, well, so-and-so is in town. I don't remember who it was, some female singer on Broadway. And they've decided to let so-and-so sing the national anthem on Mother's Day, but you guys still get to do the 25-minute show. And the girls linked arms and said, absolutely not. We want to do the national anthem. You call that terrible man back and you tell him that we're not showing up. So I said, wait a minute, ladies. I can't call the management of the Mets and tell them that we're folding our arms because that'll be the last time we ever get that invitation. So I called Vito Vitiello, who is the head of public relations for the Mets, and I said, Vito, I got a problem. They feel that you promised us the national anthem on Mother's Day, and you're reneging, and they said they're not showing up. And instead of telling me what I could do with the receiver, he said to me, look, I understand. Hang tight. And in the future, I'll see if I can get you something.
He said,
and I promise I'll put something together for you because I do understand what your problem is. He calls us. Time goes by. Here the Mets get into the playoffs. And here we are. We get a phone call and we do the national anthem and the 25-minute show for the Mets during playoff time. Now, what could be better than that? They actually came through on their promise, and they said, you know, that was it, and I have it on tape. National anthem for the New York Mets and the show, which we did a cappella. And let me tell you, if you listen to the speakers behind you, you're dead in the water. Johnny Maestro told us, he said, you'll have a lifetime monitor in front of you. Just peel yourself to that lifetime monitor and don't stray from it even for a second, because if you do, you'll be lost, because you know the echo is probably about a second and a half when you sing in the microphone by the time it comes out of the PA speakers at the ballpark,
right?
And so once, and that's why a lot of people screw up the national anthem, is because they start listening to themselves in the main speakers and they start to fumble it. So, you know, and we also got a chance, we were the entertainment for Bill and Hillary at the White House at the Christmas party in 98, and that's another whole story.
Wow. Well, you've had some fun.
Yeah, you know, we were lucky. I mean, it was a week after the blue dress incident, so, you know, we had some fun there.
You have the recording of that national anthem?
Yes, I do.
Ooh, I'd like to hear that. Oh,
say can you see by the dawn's early light what so whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming and the rock
the recording, the actual recording of the national. As a matter of fact, it's, believe it or not, it's on my page on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or somewhere.
Send me some of your stuff, my friend.
Yeah, I will definitely send you some really juicy stuff that you can appreciate, you know, and you'll keep in touch with me too and send me recordings. Now, of course, I want to ask you this question. What are some of your favorite cuts from your Ken Brady CD?
Well, let me see. I got a bunch of them that I really like. First of all, I like that Your Precious Love, Jerry Butler.
Right.
I really, really enjoy that one. I Believe.
Right.
And I like The Outside Looking In.
Right, which is a very tough song to sing.
I'm on the outside looking in. I don't want to be back on the inside. With you, you are with somebody new, and I don't know what to do, 'cause I'm so in love with you. I'm on the outside looking. I don't wanna be left on the outside. All alone. Well, I guess I had my day when you let me walk my way. Now it's me who have to pay. I never should have gone away. I never should have gone away and left you like I did. Gotta find a way back to your heart, dear. Once again, won't you take me back again? I'll be waiting here till then, on the outside looking in. Won't you take me back again? I'll be waiting here till then, on the outside looking in.
Enjoy that one. And that Diary.
Right.
That Neil Sedaka did.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoyed doing that one.
The name you
undermine. Oh, I'm hoping that it's mine. Darling, I'm so in love with you. Please don't make me blue. Make all my dreams come true. You know just what you mean to me. Say I'm the boy that you care for. The boy who's in your diary. Those little things I'd say and do. The name you underline. Oh, I'm hoping that it's mine. Darling, I'm so in love with you. Please don't make me blue. Make all my dreams come true. You know just what you mean to me. Say I'm the boy that you care for. The boy who's in your diary. Oh.
One on the whole album is Then You Could Tell Me Goodbye.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You really mean that, huh?
Yes, I do.
Okay, where was that recorded?
That was recorded in Cincinnati in a fraternity recording.
Uh-huh.
So, but that's gone now. They're closed down.
Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do is let's see how many my DJ friends we can get playing this version of Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye. You know, Ken Brady's version. Let's start sending that version out.
That sounds like a plan.
Kiss me each morning for a million years. Hold me each evening at your side. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye. Sweeten my coffee with a morning kiss. Soften my dreams with your sigh. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye. Thank you.
I won't tell you no, just so that we can say we tried. Tell me you love me for a million years. Then if it don't work out, if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye.
Yeah.
I'd love for the folks to hear, you know, the way I do it, and I do it a little different than Gene did.
All right.
But it's a fun song and to sing, and I just love it.
But nevertheless, it's the Casinos. Well, Ken, thank you so much for spending the time with me on the Harmony Street Show. And, you know, it's just, I have so much respect for you, and your chops are golden, man. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing that you're keeping the legacy of the Casinos moving along with Ken Brady's Casinos. And Paulette and I are going to come and see you very soon because we're not that far away from you.
Oh, I can't wait to see you.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you for all the compliments, and it's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Darling, you send me, I know you do you send me. Oh, 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 send me, honest you do, honest you do, honest you do. Oh, 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 you thrill me, I know you, 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 thrill me, oh, oh, oh. I thought it was infatuation, but who is lasting so long? Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. I know, I know, I know. I know you, 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 you send me, oh, 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 you send me, oh, honest you do. But who has lasted so long? Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. I know, I know, I know. You send me, I know you, 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 you send me. Oh, 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 you send me, oh, honest you do. Oh, 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 yes, you do.
You're my love, you're my angel, you're the girl of my dreams. I'd like to thank you for waiting patiently.
Daddy's home, Daddy's home to stay.
I've even got the bubble baby, my dear.
surely, surely lose a lot. 'Cause your love is better than any love I know. It's like thunder, lightning. The way you love me is frightening. You better knock a wound, baby. I'm not superstitious about you, but I can't take no chance. You got me spinning, baby. You know I'm in a trance, 'cause your love is better than any love I know. It's like thunder, lightning. The way you love me is frightening. You better knock a wound, baby. Whoa. Superstitious about you, but I can't take no chance. You got me spinning, baby. You know I'm in a trance, 'cause your love is better than any love I know. It's like thunder, lightning. Frightening, you better knock on wood, baby. You better knock on wood. 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 kicked you back on your heels. Goody, goody, well, you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody, well, you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little pieces, and now how do you do? Well, you lie awake singing the blues all night. Goody, goody, well, you think that love's a barrel of dynamite. Well, hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to ya. Goody, goody for him, goody, goody for me. Well, I hope you're satisfied, you rascal, you. Hey, let's go. Well, you met someone who kicked you back on your heels. Goody, goody. Well, you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody. Well, you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little pieces, and now how do you do? Well, you lie awake singing the blues all night. Goody, goody, well, you think that love's a barrel of dynamite. Well, hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to ya. Goody, goody for him, goody, goody for me. Well, I hope you're satisfied. You've been taken for a ride. Well, I hope you're satisfied, you rascal, you. Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Make sure that your umbrella is upside down. Baby, don't you know, maybe for a package of sunshine and flowers, if you want the things you love, you must have showers. So if you hear it thunder, don't run under those trees. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me. Pennies from heaven. Pennies from heaven. You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Make sure that your umbrella is upside down. Baby, don't you know, maybe for a package of sunshine and flowers, if you want the things you love, you must have showers. So if you hear a thunder, don't run under those trees. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me. Take a big deep breath, look a deep breath there. Put a smile on your face, be a millionaire. The streets outside are paved with gold. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and for me.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street,
ooh,
there was a place that we used to go when we were feeling down
and
we were low. We looked into each other's eyes.
Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's hearts. Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found
on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be.